All right, good. I won't adjust the volume. I'll just leave it the way it is, and we'll go from there. I am going back again yet to 2 Timothy 2:15, and going to, well, I may get it finished. I may end up doing one more session on it. But the verse reads, and I know we've spent a lot of time on this verse, and I know there was even a couple lessons brought at the conference about it, but it seems to be a pivotal verse, one that we as members of his body need to fully understand, comprehend, and put into practice. So not apologizing for going over it again and again, because I think it's necessary that we have a complete understanding of it. But let's bow our heads for a quick word of prayer, and then we will get started. Heavenly God and Father, we do come into your presence yet again one more time, looking at your precious word, and we ask that you would give us the understanding and the knowledge that we need, that it might help us to be better saints, better witnesses for you. We ask, Lord, that you would give each one that's come this way tonight the opportunity to perceive and to know the truth and to acknowledge it and then have a full understanding of it as we try to put you first in all your ways as we continue to serve you. So with that, we will start our lesson. It is October the, I think it's the 20th, I think. No, the 14th. It's October the 14th, so we will get started. So let me read the verse first. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We're going to be centering in on the word today, and possibly get several references to the word, and then we'll be looking at references to the truth will be our goal. We trust that that each one who's joining us tonight has this verse memorized. If not, my suggestion would be that you go ahead and do that, and that you would, if you have any other thoughts or could add any more depth to this verse, it would be nice to know that, understand that. So our first the word of truth, the word is logos. It's number 3056, and the first reference we will want to look at is in Ephesians 1:13. So if you'll take your Bibles and go to that. I need to scroll back up here a little bit. It says, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. And the salvation here is certainly more than just life. It has to do with our hope and calling, and it has to do with the fact that the Lord actually seals us, or makes this hope very real to us. I can still remember Roger's lesson talking about being enlightened, and I think this is certainly one of those places where we need his enlightenment concerning this salvation that's being referred to here. It says, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit, a promise. Very important thing to acknowledge and to see and realize that the Lord has illuminated us, or given us the understanding of this truth that he would have us to have. I think it's necessary to understand this truth, to acknowledge that we have been called, and to acknowledge that it's His body, and that we are in a place that we can please the Lord by accepting this truth and acknowledging it. The next reference that I guess I wanted to go back to another place. I need to change this the setting that I have on this particular Bible, because I'm actually supposed to be going looks like Colossians 1:5. So let me see if I can close this out. And let's see. This will just take me a second here. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 5. So it says there, "For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of truth of the gospel, which is come unto you, as it is into all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doeth also in you, since the day you heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth." So that that word is mentioned twice in this verse, and I think it's the same word both times. The word of truth, yeah. So again, the word is logos, and it's the number 3056. So then our next reference will be in Colossians 1:25. I can get you to turn there. So it says, "Whereof I am made a minister." This is the Apostle Paul stating this truth, that he has been made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. The truth about it is, there's we don't need any more scripture than what we have now. We need to understand the scriptures that we have now. But if someone suggests that there needs to be more things added, we would have to disagree, because we think the Apostle Paul was given the responsibility of filling full the word of God. He says, "Even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." We want to go now to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 23. Some of these references to the word also have the word truth in them, but we want to save that for we'll save those verses, some of those verses, when we talk about the truth, and try to understand and comprehend all that the Lord has in that for us. So Colossians 2:23, it says, "Which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will of worship and humility, and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh." So 23, "The things indeed have showed you." The word "show" is the is that word it, it's the it's a show of wisdom, but it has that word logos 3056 included in that word show. So in other words, it's we could say that that was supplied, or that was the in the context they knew that this is what this is referring to, which things have deed a word of wisdom or a show of wisdom in will worship and humility, neglecting of the body in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. So it's there, even though it's not in the English, it's there in the Greek. So now we want to go to Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. I'm just going to throw this out, this chapter. Just go through the New Testament sometime, especially Paul's writings, but just look at chapter 3 and verse 16. In a lot of the chapters, a lot of the books, it's a very interesting and rewarding study just to look at that. So down to chapter 3, verse 16. It says, let the word of Christ, and I guess when I think about we're supposed to have the mind of Christ. So when I think about the mind of Christ, it would include the words of Christ. The word of Christ. It would suggest that we would use the same word that he would to explain the truth, to explain him. So let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in the psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. I think sometimes we our mood can maybe not be appropriate. We can allow others to put us in, I guess, what I'd call a bad mood. But if we have this word of Christ in us, if we have the thought of who we are and what we are in Christ, then I think it counting our blessings kind of gets us out of that funk. And gets us back into the right mindset, the right attitude. I really, truly believe that attitude is very, very important. And it says in verse 17, and whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And it goes ahead and gives instructions for the wives and so forth, but that's not the point of my lesson this time, so I don't want to continue with that. So go to chapter 4, Colossians chapter 4, and I want to look at verse 3. He says, with all praying also for us, that is Paul and those that he's addressing, and those that are actually helping him to know the truth. He says, we're with all praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. So I think it's interesting that that Paul would ask us, obviously not him now, but it's one of those things where we need to pray for opportunities to speak the truth in love. It's not something that we can guarantee that those opportunities will come without the prayer. So I think we need to consider that. We need to consider that prayer and pray for opportunities to speak. I know that the Apostle Paul did that. By the way, the word for logos is the word utterance, a door of utterance. It's a door of an opportunity to share the word and to speak the truth about the mystery of Christ. So again, it's not in the English, but it's certainly in the Greek, and it's there for us to share. Then let's go to, I'm going to go down to 6, but I'm going to go ahead and read 5 and 6. He just says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time, and let your speech be always with grace. That word speech there is the same word as it's logos, and it's the word that that we're looking at, considering. And so I think whenever we have opportunities to speak for the Lord, we need to take advantage of it, and if possible, have the Bible open when we're discussing. So it says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. Salt just makes it taste better, or it gives the hearer the ability to taste the sweetness of the Lord and His Word. So I think it's necessary that we remind those that we're speaking to that the Lord is very sweet, loving, kind, gentle. And when He has admonitions and instructions for us, they're actually for our own benefit. So we need to remember that. He says that you may know how you ought to answer every man. That I think is where study comes in, where we get the opportunity to share the truth. If we know the truth, it's obviously much easier to share it. So we should always season our speech with salt, but I think it's with grace and mercy and kindness, because that's the attributes of our God. He is very kind and very much interested in us and members of His body. So now let's go to 2 Timothy 2:17. Which is just a couple of verses past the verse that we're considering. It says, "And their word." So here's a way in which this is used. The same logos number that I shared with you just a minute ago, but it just shows in the context that it could be used. The same word could be used, it says, as a canker, or it's like a gangrene, or it's like a cancer. So it says, and their word will eat as doeth a canker, of whom it is Hymogenes and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already. Anyone who would suggest that people have died and are in heaven now without the resurrection is teaching an error, teaching a lie. And so some suggest this gives people comfort. I'm suggesting that, like it says here, that it has already overthrown the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knows those that are His. By the way, only those that have life in Him will have a resurrection. And I think only those who have been chosen, called, and elected to be in His body will be involved with this resurrection. And so it's not past, it hasn't happened yet, and no one's going to appear there before others. We're all going to appear there when He appears at exact same time. So it's much better that I think we share the truth and not be trying to comfort someone with a lie. So the next verse is 2 Timothy chapter 4 in verse 2. 2 Timothy 4 verse 2. He says, preach the word. I think each one of us has our own style, and I'm certainly not suggesting that we have to holler and yell and scream when we're preaching the word. But I do think there's a sense about not holding back or not discussing the word or sharing the word with others, because it's necessary. It's what sustains us. It's what keeps us going, and the opportunity for others to hear the truth ought to be coming from our lips. We ought to be involved with that. It says, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. I don't know how much of this that we feel comfortable with, this reproving, rebuking, and exhorting with all long suffering, but there does seem to be, from time to time, a need for that. And I think when the opportunity presents itself and we feel confident the Lord is in it, that we can again just share the word. And if it has that effect on others, if it helps them to get back in line, then all well and good. It's he says to be instant in season, which means to be prepared. Whether it's in season or out of season, we need to take the opportunity to do this. And he says, for the time will come, verse 3, that they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they keep to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. So it doesn't sound like it's a very good outcome if we ignore this, ignore these opportunities to share. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15. Go on down to verse 15 in the same chapter. I probably need to read 14. It says, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. I like that attitude that Paul has, and I think it's one that we should emulate when he talks about allowing the Lord to judge these people who were trying to cause him either to quit the ministry or to change the ministry, changes his method, his style, and it just was somebody that was a stumbling block. And so he's just saying Alexander the coppersmith is going to be dealt with for the evil that he brought towards Paul. But it says the Lord reward him according to his works. So I think sometimes the rewards are not always always good, depending on why you're receiving the reward. He says in 15, of whom thou where also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. And so he's stating that I think this man was. Alexander the coppersmith was saying things that may not have been totally true, and they're trying to contradict those things that Paul was teaching. And so as a result of that, rather than Paul trying to straighten him out, he's just going to allow the Lord to do that. He says in verse 16, at my first answer no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. And I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. So there was several others that was against Paul, but at least in his mind, they weren't they didn't need to be dealt with in the same manner as Alexander. And I think that shows some grace on his part. I think it also shows that that just because some weren't with him, they weren't outwardly trying to cause harm to him. So again, it's just one of those things where we realize that Paul had enemies. It made his ministry a little tougher at sometimes, and it caused him to have to work a little harder to accomplish what he would prefer, I guess, to be an easier or smoother way. We all love success. We all love to have a mission accomplished, and we like to do things without everybody being against us or everyone just bringing about some resistance so we can't accomplish what we're trying to do for the Lord. Now let's go to Titus chapter 1. And verse 3. Excuse me. He says, "But hath in due times manifested his word through preaching." All right. Another way that the word is certainly spread is just through the Bible itself or through other books that have been written by others that we agree with, and we can share those and give those books to others. So it's just another opportunity or another way of preaching, even though we may not be literally doing it ourselves. We might be having someone else who's written a book accomplish that. But I just think it's one of those things we need to consider from time to time. He says, "Through preaching which is committed unto me, according to the commandment of God, our Savior." So again, it's the word. We want to go down to verse 9. I want to start in verse 8 just for the sake of the context. It says, "But a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate." When we started, we talked about having the mind of the Lord. And I think these are all attributes that he has. These attributes aren't in any way weak. They're strong and powerful. You can be, it says, "holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainslayers." Gainslayers, it says, "for they are many unruly, vain talkers." I do think that we're outnumbered. I do think we're in the minority, especially when it comes to the world, but even sometimes with other Christians, with other believers in Christ. So he says, "For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouth must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake." There is a way of making a profit of this hope. We trust that we're not trying to do that, but there is a way of doing it. And I think the scriptures are pretty clear that we shouldn't be making a profit from this. That the Lord should, if we're measuring success by how much money we're making off this ministry, then we're not doing it right. So it's just one of those things that I think we ought to have the same mind that Paul had, and try not to the goal is not to try to make a lot of money, but rather the goal is to get the truth out. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 5, says, well, let me go back to verse 3 for the context's sake. The only thing I can say about this, there is instruction for women that's a little different than the instruction that's given to men. And we ought to give women, our wives especially, opportunities to be a representative of Christ and to do as it says here. The aged women, we were told this at the conference by a couple of the younger men, that we were the aged. And the scriptures is not telling us how many years that is, but I do think it's those of us who have been doing this for a while. It says the aged women likewise, that they be if that's what people would have me to do. Looks like let me open up my Bible again, and then we'll do that. I was actually just talking about the truth, and I was using the illustration there of the truth. Excuse me, that the elder women can share with the younger women, and I think it was important that we realize. The elder women have a distinct advantage in giving the instructions to the younger women. I think it's much easier for them to do that and to set a good example. So that essentially was what we were. Let me go back to Titus. Chapter 2, and at first it talked about the aged men, which I didn't read, but I'll go ahead and read that now. Titus 2, chapter 2, verse 1, he says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and in patience. The aged women likewise, that they in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed." And you know, the way the world is right now, it seems like whatever it used to be right and correct like this is, seems to be wrong and looked at like we shouldn't be doing this, that we should go a different direction. And the truth of the matter is, these instructions are good for us. This is the truth that the Lord would have us to know and to understand, and that it is to our benefit to do these things. So I pretty much got through that was what I had to say down to verse 8, I guess. It's a sound speech that cannot be condemned. He that is the contrary part may be ashamed. So there was also some instructions given to the young men, and that they were told they had certain things they need to practice too, certain things that they need to learn from the aged men and from the aged women, that these older saints who've had experience and know the Lord, have known the Lord for a lot of years, should be listened to and heeded as they give out words of encouragement. And then Titus chapter 3 verse 8, and I think this is where I'm going to close after I get down here with Titus. It's Titus 3:8. where it says, this is a faithful saying. And that word saying is the word logos. These things, I probably need to go back just a couple verses, go back to verse 5, where it says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, or Holy Spirit, better, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified his grace we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will, that you firm, or you could say this is his desire, that thou affirm constantly that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto all men. So there's the instructions again about the good instructions. When he says it's a faithful saying, it means it's one that we can trust and have confidence in. It's one that we can believe. It's accurate, and it's good for us, and it's good for those that that are around us, that we share with. We should feel confident that these are the correct things to be found doing. And then, let's see, Titus 3:8, the other instructions that we could have on that word truth, and I probably ought to close in Ephesians, not Titus, so let's go to Ephesians. I just got a couple verses to read there. It says, we've already read Ephesians 1:13, so let's go to Ephesians 4:21. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 21. We still on? Ephesians 4:21. It says, if so that you heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. I prefer that would be Christ Jesus. But at any rate, it is, the truth is in Christ Jesus. And it says that, again, it's kind of going on and continuing with that thought of the things that we ought to be doing and then the things that we should not be doing. And going down a couple more verses. And it's actually 24, but I'm going to read 20, 22 and 23 for context. He says that you put off concerning the former conversation. That's just the manner of life or the way that we live and conduct ourselves. The old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Again, that was the goal, like what we started with when we said about we ought to have the same thought, the same character as the Lord Jesus Christ, that we ought to be reflecting those things that he has for us and that he has given us, so that we could be better witnesses for the Lord. And he says in 25, wherefore putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. And I don't know why it is, but in this world it seems like it's easy to lie. Easier to lie it is to tell the truth. And yet the scriptures are constantly telling us that we need to speak the truth and share the truth with those who would listen. Then let's go to chapter 5, verse 9. We're looking at this word truth. Chapter 5, verse 9. He says, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable and to the Lord. So we need to really add this to 2 Timothy 2:15, which is about rightly dividing, and also include this thought about the fruit of the Spirit being in all goodness and righteousness and truth. If we allow the Lord to work through us, He's dwelling in us, and if we allow Him to affect our lives effectively, we will certainly be better off speaking the truth much more often and much more have much more success with that. It says proving what is acceptable and to the Lord. And there again, we don't want to be found rejected. We want our lives to count and to be accepted of the Lord. And so living a life with Him in view, with His thoughts in our minds, and us living that way. Let's close with chapter 6, verse 14. And it says, we need 13. It says, wherefore, take on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Still remember a lesson that Mike brought on. These darts are not little darts like we throw at a dartboard, but rather these are like a javelin. And they're meant to cause great harm. And so it's not just an irritation like a gnat or something small, but rather something that's very powerful. And so we need this armor on to be able to withstand that type of attack. And he says, of the wicked one, then he says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It kind of gets back to full circle again when we talk about the Word. It's the Word of God. Then finally it says, praying always with all prayer. For those that suggest that we don't need to do that, I'm going to suggest that we do. I think the scriptures are clear that we need to pray continuously, always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto, or looking for the Lord to answer that prayer request, either with a positive or a negative response. But at least look for the answer. And he says, with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And as for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may openly open my mouth and boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. So let me close with a quick word of prayer. Heavenly God and Father, we do thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you how it encourages us and how it instructs us, how it helps us with our very thoughts that you'd have us to have. We'd ask, Lord, you would continue to help us to be better servants for you, to be better saints, and to do that which pleases you. Help us to know what is acceptable, and help us to be found doing those things which will please you and will be acceptable to you. For we ask it all in our Savior's name, the Lord Christ Jesus, and for His sake, amen. So with that, let me get the mic off. I apologize for the disruption. I obviously didn't have much control over what the internet did, but I apologize that it didn't go smoothly. Hope there's enough information now for the recording to be finished and for this to be posted online. I do think it's a very good topic, a very good subject, and perhaps those guys that know how to, like I can see Ronnie, I know he knows how to fix these things, and hopefully it'll be good. So again, thanks again for listening, tuning in, and even bearing through the confusion that we had. So with that, I'm going to close, open up the mic, and let others.